Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have a total failure.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Saturday morning to you. This is If My People Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Today we will continue our series on A Real Good Leader, Part 2. We're going to be coming out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. That is going to be our primary scripture along with other reference-related scripture. But as always, we begin our day with a couple of praise and worship songs. And today we have Ancient of Days by Ron Canole, followed by Awesome God with the Reverend Jenkins. Enjoy. Remember, I do not own the rights to this song. It is specifically for your listening pleasure. I'll be right back after the music.
Oh, yeah.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven. From every nation, all the creation, Lord divine.
Thank you.
Lord, we just continue to celebrate you. We worship you not only with our mouths and with our hands clapping and feet dancing, but Lord, we even worship you on our instruments tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Iconic figures, the people praise them, they stock us up at a high percentage. The giants in our eyes, the sky's the limit. The picture painted is larger than life, but God is bigger. Your God is greater. I weigh them on the scale like cracks and gators, found that only God can save us. And God is gracious, that's who we flock to in the day of trouble, and when we blow it like hot food. It's all official, nobody's greater for Shawn Mitchell. You got it right with that song, it echoes the heart of scripture. Yeah, they wonder why we so serious. It's cause Jesus Christ is also man, period.
Okay, my Jesus, the Son Christ, the King of Kings, and he's God on earth. My Messiah, born and raised to give us all a second birth. And from heaven he came down to free all that were bound. Oh God, the 4 and 20 fell down, casting down their crowns.
Jenkins, awesome remix. Before that, we had Ron Canole with Ancient of Days. Again, I want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio's If My People. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross, and today's discussion will be a continuation of our series on A Real Good Leader, Part 2. Today, we're coming from Ezekiel 34, and we're going to look at what God spoke to the leaders, to the Israelite priests, as they were not doing what they were supposed to according to God's will for his people. So let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We thank you for allowing us to see this day, Lord God. We thank you for provision for this broadcast, Lord God. Now, Lord God, I pray that this word that comes forth, Lord God, be edification for the body of Christ. Christ for every man, woman, boy, and girl, Lord God, who may hear it today or thereafter, Lord God. Let it be edifying and a blessing to mind, body, soul, and spirit, Lord God, that it may draw them into a right relationship and a closer relationship with you. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, I pray and I thank you, Lord God, for hearing the words of this prayer. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen and amen. We want to always give God reference because it's not about me. It's always going to be about Christ and that which he sent to his people. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 and 2, he says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is Ezekiel speaking, this is the KJV version, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed my sheep. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" Now, he's telling them, listen, he's not talking about literal sheep here. He's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about the priests who he set over the children of Israel, which at this time was still the Levitical priesthood. And he's telling, listen, I'm giving you these words to preach to my people. I'm giving these words to you to teach my people in the ways that they should go, that you should correct them when they are in error. But you are not doing that. So woe be to you. Listen, this is a warning to you. Woe. Hold up. Some bad things about to come to you because you're not obeying my laws. You're not doing what I placed you in this position, what I placed you in the earth to do by my people. See, God always places a man or woman of God in your life to direct you down the correct path so that you can come in a right relationship, not with the leader, but in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may know and understand what his will is for your life. Remember, the Bible says we'd rather please God than to please man. Too many times we elevate people. We elevate fleshly men who are teaching and preaching out of their flesh rather than out of the Spirit of God, because they got a word to make us holler. They got a word to make us jump. They got a word to make us shout. But are they edifying the body? Are they edifying your spirit? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are they just making your flesh feel good? And if that is the case indeed, then guess what? You can do that with a song. All of you who used to be in the club and used to love and dance, you know, dance, or even at a football game or a sports event, you know, whenever your team scored or whenever your team were getting close to scoring, you know, you're up on your feet, you're yelling, you're shouting, you're praising them, you know, you're clapping, you're doing all of this. Why? Because that team is doing something that you expect them to do, that you wanted them to do. And for the betting people, that you needed them to do, because you know that if they win, you've got increase coming to you. Well, the word of God is like that as well. When it's preached correctly, when it's taught correctly, it's going to edify your body and your spirit. It's going to pull you and deliver you out of the bondage of sin that you find yourself in, out of the bondage of depression, out of every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy that the enemy puts on you to weigh you down, to make you feel less than. Because God's word is going to remind you that you are beautifully and wonderfully made in his image. He's going to remind you that he's giving you power over all the powers of the enemy. His word is going to remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's going to remind you that if God is with you, then who can be against you? And you're going to have the evidence thereof. See, this is what it means to edify the body, that they just don't, that you just don't have a holler and a shout while you're in the midst of a church service. know that when you go away from there, you are empowered. Life has been spoke unto your body, soul, mind, and spirit. And when things come upon you during the week, you remember, oh yeah, the word says. See? The word says. That word becomes rhema in your spirit. It becomes a living word down on the inside of you that when needs come up, needs arise, guess what? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. How is he present? By the very word and the very spirit of God that is instilled in you. Not only by his spoken word, but by his Holy Spirit. Okay? Verse 3. Let's move on. Verse 3 says, you eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. So he's saying, you know what? All of the blessings are falling on you, but the people are still poor and desolate. There is nothing edifying them. They are not covered in my blood. They are not covered in my word, because everything that you're doing is only to edify you. You're taking all of the riches and all of the blessings from the people to fill your house. Verse 4 said, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. He said, with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Well, what does it mean, Pastor Ross, by with force and with cruelty? You know, you making them pay penance for stuff that for the same thing that you do, but you don't repent. You know, you telling them, oh, if you don't do this, if you don't pay that, your house is cursed. If you don't give this amount, your house is cursed. You know, but God's word does not say that. He didn't say that. Give as you can. This is your responsibility. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will I cause men to give unto my bosom. See? To give unto your bosom. God will bless you. Not the man or the woman in the pulpit. Not the man or the woman that is saying that it's not their responsibility to give to you. God says that he will cause men. That's why the Bible said that the king's heart is in his hand and he will turn it whichever way he please. But we make the mistake of looking to men, to looking to people to fulfill the promises of God rather than God himself. God can touch anybody's heart, give you unmerited favor. And you want to know, oh man, how did I get that job? Where did this money come from? See? What seeds did you sow? What blessing did you give? What homeless person did you feel? What good deed did you do out of the goodness of your heart? Just being obedient to the word of God. Not trying to be seen. Not trying to please anybody. But because you saw the need and in your spirit you felt the urge to fulfill that need. See? But see, he's telling these priests, and he's telling them, listen, these people, they had a need, but you didn't even minister to their needs. You left the sick sick. You didn't pray a prayer of healing. You didn't fast. You didn't seek God's face that people's lives might be changed. You left them in bondage. You didn't go after the ones that was lost, the ones that left. You didn't pray and say, God, change their heart or give them a better understanding that they might return unto you. Because maybe something happened in the midst of the service, in the midst of the church service, and somebody offended them. And this being the church, and they're feeling like this is a place that I come for healing. This is a place that I come for deliverance. This is a place that I come for a word from God so that I can go away with something to make me feel better. just a little ray of hope. This is the place that I come for just a little bit of hope that I know that I can make it through the rest of the week. But when the shepherds are they don't have a burden for souls. And when they're not concerned about the people, they're more concerned about the offering plate. Or they're more concerned about what kind of car they're going to drive or what kind of house they're going to live in. In other words, they're more concerned about the material things than they are about the spiritual things. You have a broken and hurt people. And in Ezekiel 34, God is telling these shepherds that are more concerned about their own personal needs, about their own personal wealth, and about their own personal being rather than the things and the people of God. He's telling them, woe unto you. I'm about getting ready to deal with you. Because I see my people hurting. And I don't see them being edified. I don't see them being encouraged. I don't hear a word of deliverance. You have not come to me on behalf of my people. You have not stood in the gap on behalf of my people, which is the very reason that I placed you there for, that the things, the calamities that are happening in their life, that you might speak a word of edification to them, that you might show them that I am truly the way, the truth, and the life, the way out, that I am the way out. You have not spoken to them. You have not taught them. You have not shown them. You have not even bandaged up their brokenness. You act as if you don't see them because you're too concerned about yourself. And that's not the reason you should be there. It's not, this ministry is not for you. The Bible says in John 3:16, and everybody knows that scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall have life and that everlasting. See? It also says, you know, if you are Christ followers, pick up that cross and follow me. Christ gave everything he had to give. Everything. His blood, sweat, and tears. His very life. That we might have the opportunity to go boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known unto our heavenly Father. In Mark 5, the disciples asked him, how should we pray? And Jesus told him, he didn't say my Father, he said our Father, because we know through Jesus Christ we are indeed grafted in to be heirs. And if heirs, then sons of God. We are the children of God, not just Jesus himself. Because he said, I am the first of many brethren. It's a whole bunch more that's going to come behind me. The Bible even says, yes, there are many others that are not of this fold. He wasn't just talking about the Jewish people. That's why he said Paul. He raised Paul up from being a murderer to being an apostle to establish the church for the Gentile people. They were not Jews. They had no right to go and worship in the temple because they were known as an unclean people. But we know in Acts 9 and 10, he told Peter, he said, go. He rolled out this scroll and he said, eat, kill and eat. And Peter said, God. Imagine telling God no. God telling you to kill and eat. And Peter saying, God, no, I ain't doing that because I ain't never ate no unclean thing all my life. No, I ain't doing that. And he did it three times. And Peter said, no, man, is you crazy? I'm not doing that. Peter said, no, man, this is God giving you a commandment, kill and eat. He's making provision for you, but you're telling him that the provision that he has made is not good enough for you. Still talking about real good leaders here. Peter told him it ain't good enough. I ain't eating that. And then we see going down in the chapter. And it says, God speaks to Peter and he says, listen, let me tell you something, boy. Don't say anything that I have made clean is unclean. Now, there's a man down there who's going to take you to Simon the Joppa. He's going to take you to Cornelius' house, Simon. He's going to take you to Cornelius' house. And there are going to be a people there that I need you to pray for them. So Peter goes and he gets there and he prays for Cornelius's family, and the Holy Ghost falls. And Peter then says, how can we deny them baptism if God has given them the Holy Ghost? See, God is not a respecter of person. He don't care about your, where you was born at. He definitely don't care about whatever sin you were caught up in. He don't care about any of that. What he is concerned about, as it says in 1 Samuel, he's concerned about your heart condition. Where's your heart? He knows when you are broken. He knows when you are hurting. He knows when you just, your back is up against the wall and you don't know who or where to turn to. See? And it's our spiritual leaders. It's our apostles and pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists set in the church, called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, if indeed they are called. I'm not talking about these self-proclaimed leaders. I'm talking about real men and women of God filled with the Holy Spirit who have a love and compassion for God's people. And they're going to lead them in the right way. Just as in 1 Timothy, when Paul led Timothy. See, he called Timothy a son of the common faith. Now, Timothy was a man that the Jews would consider unclean because his father was Greek and his mother was a Jew. He was a Jew. But we know that the child always takes on the father's heritage. So he was uncircumcised. So Paul had to circumcise him. Not because it was required, but for the people's sake. Because Paul knew that they would not, the Jewish people would not accept him. Imagine being a grown man in your 20s or 30s or however old Timothy was at the time and being circumcised. No anesthesia. That's how serious it was. That's how serious he took the word of God. See, sometimes leaders will cause you pain. And change, yet let's be honest, as it says in Romans 8 and 1, he said there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. See, because now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And cutting away that old that old unuseful sin, things that meant you no good, that they hurt. Cutting off people that mean you no good, that you love, it hurts. See? But a real good leader is going to tell you. They're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to sugarcoat anything. They're going to tell you the truth according to the word of God for your life. See? They're going to tell you the truth regardless of how it hurts. Yeah, you're going to shed some tears because deliverance causes you to shed some tears because deliverance means that your fleshly ways are dying. The things that you like, the things that you in the way that you think you ought to be going, that is contrary to the will of God for your life. So your flesh is going to cry out because it likes doing what it likes doing. Whatever your vices are, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's a sexual nature, whatever it is. Physical, mental, or emotional, or spiritual nature. If it is against God's will, a real good leader will tell you that. Hey, you gotta come out from among that. And not only will they tell you, but they will be praying in conjunction with what they tell you, that God delivers you from that. That he takes that thing, everything that is unlike God, remove it from out of your life. He's just not going to let you lie there in a bed of sin. He's going to tell you, come out from among them. No, you can't live like that. A woman of God doesn't do this. A man of God doesn't do that. Already he's telling you who you are. He's not you. He's telling you the new creation that you are. Now you are a man of God. The Bible says, for once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. See, that changes your title, changes your destiny, changes who you are. It changes your entire identity. You might not feel it in the beginning because deliverance and salvation is a process that we grow into daily. See, it's an everyday thing. So what if you messed up yesterday? So what if you didn't give God reference yesterday? So what if you didn't pray? So what if you took one drink yesterday or you fell into fornication yesterday? What about today? God's grace and mercies are new every morning. See, real good leaders, unlike those in Ezekiel 34, they just don't let you lie and wallow in sin. They pick you up. They pull you out. They dress you up. They clean you up. See, they don't just let it lay there. And in verse 5, they say, and they were scattered. You're talking about the people, talking about the sheep. He said, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. They became prey to the enemy because they had no leader. They had no covering to guide them. So every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy that was out there in the world, it devoured them because they had no covering and they didn't have a place to run to or a place to turn to for safety's sake. Verse 6 says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after him. No prayers went up. Nobody went out. Nobody made the phone call and say, hey, sister so-and-so, ain't seen you at service. How you doing? Just checking on you. We love you. God loves you. We miss you. But we can call all over the world. And we can do everything else except search after the children of God. Oh, well, that's them. They know where they all to be. Do they know? Because you forget, there's a real adversary after them because they just confess Christ. See, there's a real adversary after them. He don't want them saved. He don't want them healed. He don't want them delivered. He's going to throw up every possible obstacle that he can in order to deter their road to salvation. Sometimes all it takes is a phone call. Hey, sister, I had you on my mind. Just calling to see how you were doing. Hey, brother, had you on my mind. Just calling to see how you are doing. You don't know what a person is going through if you never reach out to them. So how can we call ourselves men and women of God if we're not seeking after God's people? Jesus didn't stay in the temple. Jesus went out in the midst of people to bring life and to speak life to those people. Every day, that was his duty. He was there to save God's people. It was not about him. Even times when he got angry with the people because they did not understand, he still went alone. He went away to pray for his father about the people that God had given him. See, in his last hour, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, these are the people that you have given me, and I have not lost none of them except the son of perdition, which he was talking about Judas who betrayed him. I ain't lost none of these people. See, because I always come to you on their behalf. I always come to you so the enemy may not devour them. He told Peter, he said, Peter, the enemy desires to sift you like wheat, but because I have prayed, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, Peter. You might get caught up. You might go astray for a little while. But guess what? You're going to return back to the foundation of the living God, the very word that I am teaching you. See, but God is telling these shepherds, he's telling these leaders in Ezekiel, he said they scattered everywhere. And y'all didn't go look for them. See, in Matthew, when Jesus is arisen and all of his disciples have scattered because they're thinking, oh, well, it's over. It's over. It's over. But Jesus sends Mary. He sends her. Mary Magdalene, because she's waiting there at the grave. He says, you go. Tell my disciples and Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen. See? After he went through his transition, after he went through dying on the cross and all of that, he came back. And he knew the flock was scattered. He said, oh, no, wait a minute. No. I'm not finna leave y'all out there like that. Y'all got to remember what I taught you. Now, get back over here. Come see me before I ascend up to the Father because I have more instructions for you. Regardless of what I'm going through, my mind is always on you. I'm not just going to let you stray. See? And that's what it says in verse 8. Verse 8, Ezekiel 34, verse 8 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. See, God's saying, listen, don't worry about it, you little corrupt people. I'm going to go after my sheep. I'm going to find them. I'm going to bring them out of darkness. I am going to heal them. I am going to deliver them. And know what else? I'm going to give them a new shepherd, a man after my own heart, who's going to care for my sheep as I care for them, who's going to love them as I love them, who's not going to turn their back on them, who's not going to allow them just to slink away and act as, and believe that nobody cares about them. No. See, you're doing too much. You think it's good enough because you have a house full of provision. You think it's good enough because you have the word down on in the inside of you. But what are you doing with it? Are you pouring it out on my people? Or are you just using it to edify yourself? Are you pouring it out on those hurt and broken? Or are you just keeping it to yourself? Are you only just ministering to those who can make it to the temple? What about the ones that can't make it to the temple? What about the ones that can't make it to the house of God? When you're standing in line at the Walmart and you see a sister or brother, you know, who has less than, are you ministering to their souls? Are you providing for their needs as best you can? Are you blessing them with the blessings that God has given you? Are you pouring out? Are you just seeing the brokenness? Are you just seeing the hurt? And with blinded eyes, you just walk by as if they don't exist. Remember when the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. We don't know who his prophets are. We don't know who his anointed are. Because remember, they become new creations in Christ Jesus. What you see today is not what God sees. What we see with our physical eyes is not what God sees. Remember, Hebrews 11:1, you know, faith is the substance of things not seen. It's not seen with your eyes. The evidence manifests in the Spirit of God through his purpose and his will for people, for his people. And we don't know who God's people are because they've not all heard the word yet. They have not yet all heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. So they don't know to come home yet. But when they hear that word, as it says in Acts 2, that word will pierce their heart and they will say, how can I be saved? Everything in their life will change. It's going to change. But are the shepherds seeking them out? Are they looking for the hurt? Are they looking for the broken? Or are they looking for the almighty dollar? Are you looking to build big ministries just to bring in and greater income? Or are you looking to fulfill God's vision for your life, for his people that he placed you over for such a time as this? That many souls might be healed, delivered, and set free. That people may be edified in this last day. That they understand that by the word of God, that they shall live and not die and proclaim the gospel of his kingdom. Are you doing that? Are you teaching that? Are you molding that and shaping your young people to hear those words so that they might go up and be holy and righteous disciples with a love for God's people who want to be effective witnesses in the land, at school, at their jobs, in the grocery store, in their car, see, at the gym, wherever they may go. That they're constant in prayer, crying out for the souls, crying out for the lost, that people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a real good leader. See, so God is telling him. He's asking him, I'm about to deal with you. He said, I'm gonna bring them out from the people, and I'm going to gather them from the countries, and I'm going to bring them to their own land and feed them up on the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel, shall their foal be there. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle and between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. See, he's telling, listen, you shepherds. Listen, y'all done tried, y'all done walked all those people. Y'all have broken their spirit with some of the doctrinal teachings, the false doctrine that y'all have spewed from your mouth, knowing that it didn't come from me. You saying that thus saith the Lord, yet I have not spoken to you. You're doing all this. Hey, if you don't give this amount of money, then your whole house cursed. If you don't do this, then your whole house cursed. If you don't do this, such and such, and, but God, did God say that? Did he say that? You're talking to a broken and hurt people, and you're speaking curses on a people that God has blessed. See, you speaking on a people. You speaking, trying. You're like Balaam. See, He told Balaam, listen, Balaam, you can't curse a people that I have blessed. So don't go with the king. So Balaam goes back and he tells him, he said, well, King Balak, I can't go with you, thus says the Lord. That should have been the end of it. But then the King Balak sent back other messengers to him and said, hey, I'm going to bless you with this silver and gold and half my kingdom and all of this stuff. And Balaam said, maybe, perhaps, God is missing an opportunity to bless me, but you're already a man of God. You're already blessed. You already have everything that God desires for you to have. What are you doing? So he goes back to God again, and he says, listen, God, this is what he says. Should I go with him or not? So God tells him, okay, just go ahead, because in your heart, this is what you want to do anyway. You're looking at the riches. You're looking at the promises of a man rather than the promises of God. You're looking at the will of man rather than the will of God. See, so he saddles up the ass and he's on his way. And the donkey strays from the course. And Balaam hits him, you know. And so the animal starts going again. And he strays from the course again. Balaam hits him again. You know, he's like, what is wrong with you? So then a third time, he strays from the course and he smashes Balaam's foot, the prophet's foot, against the wall because there was nowhere else to go. So he has his foot on the wall. He said, if I would have had a sword, I would have killed you. God's opened up the ass's mouth and he said, you don't see that man with that sword in front of you, man? I'm trying to save your life. Haven't I been obedient to you all the years that you have had me? Now, why would I stray from the course at this time? So God finally opens Balaam's eyes and he sees this big old angel with a sword ready to kill him. He then repents because he disobeyed the word of God. God already told him the first time. When God speaks, that's it. If you are a true man or woman of God and you know the word of God and the voice of God, why does he keep have to telling you the same thing? You are a leader over his people. You of anybody ought to know. There should not be a wavering in your spirit. There should not be a wavering in your soul. And if there is, go back to God and then you get clarity because you're supposed to lead his people. See? He had already told Balaam, listen, that which I have blessed is blessed. That which I have cursed is cursed. You can't do nothing to the children of Israel regardless of what Balak promised you or what he said. His blessings or his material wealth is not greater than what I can give you. So why is your heart and mind in going and obtaining the material things that is not going to edify your soul? So see, it's that same way today. Some start in a good work. But they get distracted because of the things of this world, the riches of this world, taking their eyes off the purpose of God for their lives. They forget about the people. The people become a means to an end. The people become a way for them to take the tithes and offerings and get the big house and get the great cars, the Mercedes and Jaguars and whatever else, you know, they so desire. The fine clothes. And the people are ragged. The people are insufficiently dressed. They don't have sufficient food and clothing. They're being evicted. Where are the blessings on the people? Yet you're telling them, oh, if you don't give this, then you curse. If you don't give that, then you curse. And the people are giving all and yet are not able to live. Because the more they give, the more you want. And it's not for a vision. There's no manifestation in the earth for your so-called vision. See? We're talking about real good leaders. But here in Ezekiel, the shepherds were not real good leaders. They were using the people. Real good leaders today, you see the manifestation of their word. They do what they say they're going to do. And the people are blessed. Favor rest upon them. If it falls on the head, it's going to fall on the body. If it falls on the head, it's going to fall upon the body. But today, many are deceived because of false prophets, false apostles, false teachers. Promising things that God never spoke. Speaking out of their soulish realm rather than the spiritual realm and the spirit and the Holy Spirit of God. Speaking things the way they see it rather than the way the Father sees it. See? See? Let's go over to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to look at Paul while he's speaking to the elders in Ephesus. And he says, go to the back. Huh? See? He says, and now behold, in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that which shall fall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. See, Paul is telling them, listen, I'm going to go because I'm going to be obedient to the word of God, but I'm not going on my behalf. I'm going on your behalf. See? But none of these things move me. He said, regardless of what's going to happen in Jerusalem, I'm still going to be obedient to that which God is telling me to do. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with many tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. He goes on to say, I have not covered any man's silver or gold or apparel. Yet ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto you my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. See, he's telling these leaders, this is the example that I left before you. See, I didn't want your silver or gold. I depended upon the Lord to meet my need. And that which I couldn't get, I worked with my hands to provide for myself and for you. See, good leaders, he's saying, and listen, I'm going to warn you, because there's going to be, after I leave, after I'm here no more, once I'm gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be ravenous wolves among you who are going to take advantage of the people. So you watch and therefore pray. He said, and even some of you, but I'm warning you, see. This is in correspondence with Ezekiel that says, woe to the shepherds. This is God speaking to Paul, telling them, listen, this is what's going to come. And they're not going to spare the flock. And God is going to hold you accountable. So I'm telling telling you right now the things that are going to come. I'm telling you what to watch for. I have been an example unto you for these 3 years of how to walk in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In everything that I have done, I have been the example. And that's the third point. That a real good leader is always an example in how to walk in the body of Christ. A real good leader is always an example to the people, regardless of what he has to go through, regardless of what he has to suffer. He is always going to put God first. And the people. See? Because he has a responsibility to God's people to show them an example of the living God in the earth. I'm not saying that he is God. Twist my words. Don't misunderstand me. I said an example of the living God in the earth. Just as Christ was, he was an example of the love and grace and mercy of Jehovah God in the earth. He healed the sick. He fed the poor. See? He brought liberty to those who were bound. He set the captive free. He brought them out of bondage of the enemy. Remember the man in the garden, in the graveyard of the Gadarenes who had been bound all them years, possessed with demons? And it was a legion of demons. And when Jesus got off the boat, he said, Jesus, Son of God, why have you come to persecute us before time? Jesus said, be silent. Who are you? And they said, we're legion, for we are many. He said, well, you don't belong in there. You got to come out. Because, see, this is a temple of God. This is not a temple for you. So your time is up in this dwelling. You got to go. Well, can we go over in the peace? I don't care where you go, going on in the peace, but you're not staying in here. See, why? Why did he tell him that? The man wasn't saved. The man didn't know God. Why? Because in the beginning, God made man in his own image. And we know that darkness and light cannot dwell in the same place. Because any room that is dark, if you turn on the light, the darkness will scatter. So since Jesus is the light of the world, when he came into that man's presence, every demonic spirit had to recognize him as the light of the world. And they had recognized that they don't have any dominion anymore in that body that God created in his image. So they had to loose them. They had to flee because the word was spoken into that dark place. And that's what our leaders do. Real good leaders do. They speak into, they bring a word of light, of edification into every dark thought, place, emotion in you. It brings you hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? It's our purpose to bring the people hope. That they may know, yes, I can make it through this. Yes, this is only a temporary setback. Yes, I can live and not die. Every suicidal ideation that was once over you in the morning now is loose from here. That every sin that so easily besets you, you are delivered from. Hey, I ain't got to tell you that dream. Hey, I ain't got to sleep with you. Hey, I ain't got to be caught up in this. I don't have to do this because God has called me to greater. I know my self-worth. I know my identity in Christ Jesus. I am more valuable than this. It doesn't matter what you say. All that matters is what God says. He says that I am beautifully and wonderfully made in his image. He said that I have power over all the powers of the enemy. So you're not just going to come up here and speak all this negativity in my life. You're not going to do that. See, because God has called me to life and that more abundantly. He's restoring my joy. He's restoring my peace. He's giving me the peace that passes all understanding. He says sorrow only endured for a night. Yes, I hurt because I love that person, and now they're not here anymore. But I can rejoice because I know that if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, because their spirit is going to go back to God, that they're not down here anymore dealing with the everyday machinations of the evil one that try to pull them away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that try to entrap them even the more in sin, but they are rejoicing in heaven. And we stay focused on that end result, that we might have that everlasting life and that more abundantly. That we realize that this earth realm, that this fleshly body that we walk around in, so that we can be rooted on the ground in the earth, that we, you know, can breathe the air and experience and touch the and feel other people and other things and all of the materialistic things in the world, that we are able to partake of those things, but yet and still keeping God first. Because we know that this is only a temporary casing, but that the real casing is down on the inside of us, which is the breath of life that God breathed into man when he breathed into Adam. That is the true living being and the very essence of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if indeed his Holy Spirit dwells in us, then we are indeed one with him. And his Holy Spirit unctions us in to the very light thereof, into the path of righteousness daily. So it doesn't matter the temporary setbacks, because we know that God has already made a way out for us. No matter how dim or how devastating it may seem, God has already made a way out for us. So we don't need to despair. We don't need to feel bad. We don't need to feel downtrodden. But for those who don't know, a real good leader directs them into the path of righteousness. You might not like what they're saying at the time, but I promise you, a real good leader, a real man, woman of God, they're not going to tell you anything to destroy you. They're always going to tell you things to uplift you. They're going to kill your flesh in order that you may no longer be a slave to sin. And they're going to stand in the gap for you. They're going to pray and fast for you that you might be healed, delivered, and set free, and the joy be restored back into your life, that you may come into the fullness of the body of Christ, that you realize that you are not alone, that God is always with you, that he shall never leave, nor he shall ever forsake you. That yet while in your sins, God is covering and protecting you. Remember the lady caught in the midst of adultery? And everybody brought her there. And Christ was there. He was writing on the ground. He was like, yeah, okay, I hear everything y'all saying. He said, but he without sin cast the first stone. He didn't have to look up. He said, woman, where art thou your accuser? He said, I don't have any. He said, neither do I accuse you. See, because God already knows what you caught up in. But see, he didn't come to condemn you. He came to deliver you. He came that you might be saved. He came that you might come into a right relationship with him, that you no longer be a captive enemy of Satan, that you no longer be a tool of the enemy. He came so that you can know, like, yeah, I'm with you. I see what you're caught up in. All I'm waiting on is just for you to ask me to come in. All I'm waiting on is you to ask me for help. How many of you have been in a situation, maybe taking a test or having a dilemma or something in your life, and you know you needed to ask for help, but shame or pride or whatever it was, you just didn't want to ask for help. But God is standing right there. Christ is standing right there saying, I'm right here. I'm ready to help. I'm ready, willing, and able to help. I'm just waiting for you to ask me. I'm just waiting for you to open the door and let me in so that I can help. See? That's all it is. It's just an invitation. All he's waiting on is an invitation into your life. He's not going to be like the enemy and just force his way in, kick down the door, and say, hey, I'm taking over. No, he's a gentleman. He's waiting for you to ask and say, oh, God, I can't do this by myself no more. You got to help me. That's it. That's all. Ain't no elaborate words. You got to say, God, help me. That's it. And he Johnny on the spot just like that. Things begin to turn around. You might not see them physically, but I'm telling you, God has a way of manifesting his presence in your life. And the evidence, that's why they say hindsight is 20/20, because you can look back and see how God was there for you, even in your sin. As that song says, as I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. See, the test leads to your testimony. See, when you look back and you say, that wasn't nobody but Jesus. I should have died. I should have been in jail. I should have been this. I should have been that. I shouldn't have got away with that. You know, I ain't even supposed to be here today. But God. See? That's why Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plans that I have for your life. See? Plans to prosper you. Plans to bring you unto an expected end. Not what you expect, but what I expect. I, the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Jehovah God, the I am that I am. I know the plans that I have for your life. Not what you expect. So it doesn't matter, see, what you're caught up in. It doesn't matter what has happened. See, and real good leaders remind you of the promises of God. They don't dictate to you and expound upon your sins. They don't care about your sins. All they care about is that, hey, just like God brought me out, baby, he can bring you out too. God has no respect to person. And a real good leader doesn't either. They see you as a child of God. They see you with the love and compassion that God sees you. They're not going to buffer you. They're not going to be the shepherds in Ezekiel 34. If you scatter, they come in looking for you. If you're wounded, they're going to bind up your wounds. See? They're going to tend for you just as diligently as if you were their own child. Because in essence, you are truly a child of God. And they're going to have the same love, compassion, grace, mercy, forgiveness as the Lord Jesus Christ has for you. As our Father, which art in heaven, has for you. Talking about a real good leader. See, this has been Blog Talk Radio, If My People, with Pastor Leona Ross. I hope. And I do pray that this message has been a blessing to your body, mind, soul, and spirit. I pray that you are able to take these words with you this week and that they may edify you until we meet again. We'll be right back here on next Saturday, 12 noon Eastern time. I do thank you, and I praise God for his very presence of being with us today. Look forward to seeing you next week. And we're going to go out of here with Fred Hammond. All things are working for me. May God bless and keep each and every one of you in the Lord Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
cover you.
He'll cover you with his
everything
grace.
You need.
Everything you need is in your hands. So lift up your head and thank.
All things.
Oh, yeah. Not worthy.
Hey. Let me say I know that feeling well. To make your plans for life and then watch them take a downswing. Let me encourage you while I encourage me. See the raging rain and wind, but
hallelujah.